Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd and said, "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say?" Well, they were trying to trap him into saying something that they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned before throw the first stone." Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Did not even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I shared earlier, Pastor Joe at about 11:30 last night emailed his sermon to me, and they are en route. They're in the eastern part probably of Ohio, western part of Ohio, getting close to Indiana now, and I know they would greatly appreciate your prayers for continued safe travels home, but most of all, we do praise God that there was no injuries and that no damage beyond some new tires. That's, as we said, that's a really good option when you've slid around, if that's the only thing you need. So we do pray for them. But he sent me the sermon because, as you know, we've been in the Red Letter Challenge, our theme for Lent, and this past week's theme was forgiven. How we are forgiven, and then how we share that forgiveness with others. So if you take a look at this couch that Pastor Joe brought in for us this morning, it's a nice looking couch, right? Looks pretty comfy. No big stains on the outside. And most of us probably have a pretty nice looking, very comfortable couch somewhere in our home, our apartment. But they look great on the outside, right? But when we take time to flip the cushions over and see what's underneath, not always so fun, right? In fact, sometimes we have to kind of brace ourselves to take a moment to get ready to find out what's underneath, because usually there's some kind of mess. If we were to flip over a cushion, perhaps on this one or Pastor Joe's house, we might find dog hair. Maybe, or at our own houses, we might find crumbs. Who knows, we could find fingernail clippings or loose change. That's always a win, right? Baseball hats, Skittles, and Pastor Joe's couch might even have petrified cheesecake under the cushions. And I promise I'm not picking on him. He put that in there himself, because we all know how much Pastor Joe loves his cheesecake, right? Our lives are a lot like this couch. We try and make ourselves look pretty on the outside, you know, no stains, and we're even kind of like politicians. We hug people, we kiss babies, we shake hands, we smile a lot, and we make sure we look good on Facebook. But the reality is that just under the surface, each one of us has a mess. We tend to just kind of take our junk and we push it down in the cracks so we can forget about it. Or we come up with coping mechanisms so that we can live with the garbage and the junk that's right beneath the surface. Now, I'm not talking about being messy or trash or, you know, dust piled up everywhere. But what we're talking about is the junk in our lives. Things like addictions, sin, bad habits, broken relationships, unhealthy habits. That stuff that we're not proud of. We hide it, and so we never really deal with it. And then we kind of begin to fool ourselves. We think, oh, no one can see it. So we're just fine. I don't have to change. I've hidden my mess so well that I can't see it and nobody else can see it. Pastor Joe talks about a time that he was at a funeral recently where a very well-meaning person said of the deceased, "He was a good person, and he's in a better place now because of it." That might sound like something nice to say, but it's the opposite of the gospel message that we preach. Because the good news actually begins with the bad news. And the bad news we find in Romans 3:10 that says, "There is no one righteous, not even one." That means Pope Francis isn't righteous. Billy Graham, Mother Teresa, John Wesley. You, me, none of us are righteous. We are all sinners who are guilty. We are not righteous on our own. Deep down inside, most of us in this room, if we could see deep down, we might be surprised to see the hurt that some of us carry. We look around on Sunday mornings, we see the smiles, we love to hug and greet one another when we pass the peace. But all that we see is just the covering, just like the covering of the couch. Deep within many of us, there is hurt that we're being held captive. We're being held captive to the past because we can't let go of the hurt. If you can't let go of the past, you will never be able to grab a hold of the future. If you can't let go of the past and the hurt, you'll never be able to fully grab a hold of the amazing future that God has for each one of us. As believers in Jesus Christ, we have an important message for others and for ourselves. Jesus did not suffer on the cross, die a horrible death, and then be raised from the dead just so that we could live the rest of our life holding on to all that sin and guilt as a slave. No, rather, God sent his one and only Son to die so that you and I could be free of all the junk and the sin that weighs us down. In our scripture lesson this morning, it was from John 8, verses 1 through 11. Something that is very unique about this Bible story is that if you look at that page in your Bible, many of our Bibles have a footnote that tells us that earlier manuscripts of the Bible didn't even include this story. And biblical scholars say that the reason that some manuscripts left it out is because of the controversial nature of it. In other words, what Jesus did was so scandalous that people were afraid to put it in the Bible. The story begins this way in verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and placed her in his midst. Okay. Where's the man? Right? It takes two. But they only brought the woman. The story goes on in verse 4. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such." Well, technically the leaders are correct. The law says if you commit adultery, you must die. They went on to say, "What do you say about her?" they asked Jesus. And they said this to test him, that they might bring some charge against him. So they were already scheming and plotting. But this wasn't a real question. This was simply a trap. And the reason they didn't bring the man probably is because he was in on the trap. They bring this woman, and here she is. And here is how this trap works. If Jesus says, "Yes, stone her," then he seems to contradict the grace and love that he's been preaching. On the other hand, if he answers, "No, don't stone her," then he's going against the law. So they think they have him trapped in a corner. But at that point, Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. Now, this is one of the great mysteries of the Bible. What was Jesus writing in the dirt? There's a few theories that I will share this morning. Some Bible scholars suggest maybe he was simply doodling, drawing in the sand or the dust, as if to suggest that their question wasn't even worth his time. Other scholars suggest that he was writing a Bible verse. But the theory that Pastor Joe likes the most is that Jesus was writing down the names of the people in the circle that were holding the stones ready to kill this woman. And beside each of their names, he wrote some of their sins. They thought they had the dirt on this woman. But Jesus is saying, "You want to talk about dirt? I'll show you dirt." So then he writes, "Tomas," and beside it, "Drunkard." Then he writes the name Henry, and beside it, he writes "thief." He writes the name Paul, and beside it, he writes "liar." We all have sin. We all have dirt once the cushions of our couch, once the cushions of our lives are lifted up. The story continues in verse 7. And as they continued to ask him, Jesus stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more, he bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the eldest. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus looked up at her and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and do not sin again." A lot of us think that we need to come to Jesus with our best, with everything put together, looking our best, acting our best, and then he'll forgive us. But this story tells us the opposite truth to that. This woman was caught at her very worst. She was dragged out and thrown into the dirt. She is symbolically, spiritually, and literally dirty. She had no idea when that day started that she would be meeting her Savior. If so, I'm sure she probably would have worn her nicest clothes. She would have tried to scrub away any stains, and she would make sure she looked great on the outside. But instead, this woman's cushions get turned over in the most public of ways. And Jesus responds by setting her free. The only one who had the right to hold the rock dropped his rock. "Woman, I didn't come to condemn you. I came to save you." He says, "I didn't come to find you guilty. I came to set you free." In John 3:16, a much loved, well-known gospel verse, we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." I want to invite you to take a moment to read back through that verse on the screen, but instead of "the world," insert your name. Because God so loved you, he so loved me, he so loved each one of us, not just the world out there, but each one of us here. If we had been the only one, he would have sent his only begotten Son, that if, as we believe in him, we will not perish, but have everlasting life. What an amazing promise. And I want to invite you in this week ahead, begin your mornings by thinking through that verse and putting your name in place of the world and in place of the word "whoever," and claim that promise. With Jesus and the adulterous woman, when all the crowd and the naysayers had left, when the trap setters and the accusers were gone, it was just this woman and Jesus. And Jesus does something so scandalous that they didn't even put it in the early Bible. Jesus forgives her. Jesus sets her free. Then he says, go and sin no more. We all have naysayers and accusers in our life. Those naysayers, the accuser, the enemy, will all try and tell you and I that God could never love someone like us, that God could never use someone like us. And our problem is that too often we listen to the lies and accusations of the enemy more than we listen to the gospel truth of Jesus. Day in, day out, we are pulled to listen to those lies and accusations, but we need to claim God's gospel truth, that God sent his one and only begotten Son so that we could be set free, so that we can be forgiven. We started with the fact that the bad news is that no one is righteous, not even one. But remember, there is good news, because God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but he sent him so that the world through him might be saved. That goes for you, that goes for me, and it goes for every person that's ever been looked down on in the dirt. There is only one person in all of history who legitimately had a stone to throw. Not only did he not throw it, but he gave his life up for the woman caught in adultery, for you and for me. Jesus got down in the dirt, in our mess, underneath our cushions, and he wipes our sin away. Our life can be so good, not on our own, not because we are so good, but because Jesus forgives us of our sins. He calls you and I to live in a new way, and he continues to forgive us and to lift us up out of the dirt. Remember, you can't grab a hold of God's future for you until you are willing to let go of the past. Amen. Amen. Amen.